Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Catherine Casey. She's a regular on my show. She's one of the city's most accomplished elder law attorneys, a partner at Dutton, Casey, and Messerolis here in Chicago. She is one of the few certified elder law attorneys focusing her practice on long-term care, estate planning, special needs planning, Medicare, Medicaid. She's earned many awards and accolades, and she writes and speaks very nicely on these topics where everyone can understand. Katie, welcome and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Karen. It's great to be back.
Great. This is a great topic, and I know I've had a lot of texters saying, I can't wait to listen to this because we all need to get these things done. So you have prepared kind of an annual legal checkup list, and when I'm off the show here, I'm going to give my producer the documents, and we're going to post it so everyone can access it. And it has all your contact information on it as well. Let's go through it. Let's talk a little bit about what is on this list and what you should be doing to kind of get your affairs in order.
Sounds good. I created this list because I had seen one too many people in my office who were confronting a crisis completely unprepared. And the reason they were unprepared was so simple. It was just because they had not organized their paperwork, documentation, and information appropriately so that a loved one could find it. So this list will guide all of our listeners through the information and documentation that they need to put together in order to prepare for a crisis, particularly a healthcare crisis, and show them which documents you need, how do you organize them, how can you be prepared.
So let's start with, you know, just why don't you pick out some of these things that you have on this list that you think are important. Let's start maybe with your personal documents. What personal documents do you want people to gather together?
Yeah, it's stuff you wouldn't even think of. Basic stuff like your birth certificate. I mean, how many of us know where our birth certificate is? We really need to have access to that. It's an important documentation that we are going to need in a crisis. Your naturalization papers, your citizenship papers, your Social Security card, your driver's license, oh gosh, your Medicare card or your supplemental insurance card. These are really important to have, particularly in a healthcare crisis, so that we can access insurance.
Are you there? Oh, Kate.
I'm still there. Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so other documents are really more financial related because if we're in a crisis, someone's going to need to know how to pay the bills. And some of it is just, it's the stuff in our lives is so automated that we forget how important it is to think, how would somebody pay our mortgage if we couldn't pay our mortgage for us? Would they even know who the mortgage company is? Would they know where our bank account is? Would they know where we keep our money? Would they know when the mortgage is due? I love my clients to keep a copy of all of their major financial statements, but also all of their major bills. An invoice showing how is this paid, when is it paid. So if someone needs to step in for us, they're going to know exactly what needs to be paid and how to do it.
And even subscriptions to things. You know, I mean, you don't want your loved ones to be charged for your subscriptions to different things go on an ongoing basis. And how would anyone know what you're subscribing to some, you know, automatic pay and passwords? That's a whole other thing. What are your passwords?
Oh,
you know, that seems
point,
to be
Karen.
Really important.
That is such a great point. And this is, you know, to tell a personal story. I had a relative who was an impeccable planner who planned everything and had everything in order except for the password to his computer.
Oh, my gosh.
Everything was digital. Everything was on that computer. So for lack of one password, we couldn't access all the wonderfully organized information that he had put together for us. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Digital information, usernames, and passwords are totally critical. I'd like to tell the joke that if anything happened to my husband, I would have no idea how to watch the television because it requires a password to get into, and I have no idea what it is.
And that might not be a bad thing, not watching television, but... But, you know, and some of the other things, too, that are on this list, not on this list, but, you know, just even list of your doctors, you know, your medications, You know, if someone were to, you go to the hospital and sometimes you don't have a list of your medications or they don't know what you're on, that's really crucial. Or the names of your lawyers, your financial advisors, your accountant, your tax returns, maybe for the last couple of years that you have that on the list, where your safe deposit boxes are. That's one that we were just talking to the Illinois State Treasurer about. A lot of people have safety deposit boxes and nobody knows about them, and if someone were to die, all of those boxes go escheat to the state, and so your family may never see the valuables, whether it's jewelry or Purple Hearts or cash, whatever it is going to be gone forever, unless somebody finds it. So this is just really, really, really valuable. Thank you for preparing this. And like I said, give us about an hour after the show, and I'm going to send this over to my producer. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about some new laws that are in place. One of them is the right to die law, which I'd like to hear your input on. But in the meantime, Katie, can you give everybody your contact information if anybody wants to consult with her about elder law issues, estate planning, or the like?
I sure can. My phone number is 312-899-0950.
This new right to die law in Illinois, can you tell our listeners what the parameters of this law are?
Yeah, this is a really limited statute, surprisingly limited in its application. So it's known as the medical aid in dying statute, and it's not going to become effective until September 12th of this year. So there's still some time for the state to get some implementation procedures in place so that we'll better understand how this is going to work. But essentially what this means is that if you have a terminal illness, and if two physicians have evaluated you and determined that you are going to pass away within 6 months because of that terminal illness, and if you have mental capacity to make the decision to participate in this, and in addition to that, if you are physically able to administer the medication required, then you are eligible to partake of the statute. So that's a really, really limited pool of people. If we're talking about people who are mentally competent and also physically able at the same time within 6 months of passing away.
Yeah, I when I read this, I too felt like it was very restrictive, and I understand why. I mean, you don't want people who have minor problems to say, I'm going to end it all and do it now. And you certainly don't want other people to control your ending of your life, But, for people with Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that, it's not going to be available, right? Because they're not going to be competent to make that decision.
Exactly. So I see clients all the time who have been looking forward to the statute, who are considering moving to one of the other 12 states in the country that do have a medical aid in dying statute in place. And they've been waiting for something like this because of an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis for themselves or a loved one. They really don't want to live through that illness. But this statute absolutely excludes people with dementia, because people with dementia, the trajectory of that disease is simply you are not going to have competency. The competency required within 6 months of your passing.
And you also have to administer it yourself. It would be illegal for somebody to give you that medicine. So that's another prong. And, I did a little research on this while Pritzker was deciding whether to sign the bill. And what I found was really interesting in other states was that a lot of people would get the pill or the medicine, but they wouldn't give it to themselves. It seemed to me that many people felt that they liked the control, that they knew that if the time came and they wanted to end their lives, they could do it, but they chose not to in the end, which I find very interesting.
That's really interesting, and I wonder if that explains why one of the safeguards built into the statute is the responsible disposal of the unused medication. So clearly, there is an issue with people not actually following through with the administration of the medication once they qualify. And it's dangerous. It's just simply dangerous to have that kind of medication out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about, there's a new law regarding driver's licenses for older people. I know we have a lot of people who listen to the show who are getting up there in age and they want to, they might be interested in this new law. Can you tell us just briefly what the changes are?
Yeah, this is the Road Safety and Fairness Act, and it's going to take effect this summer. And essentially what it's doing is it's raising the mandatory driving test from 79 years of age to 87 years of age. This was a big deal for age discrimination advocates who didn't think it was appropriate to subject people to mandatory driving tests based on age alone. So you don't have to take a mandatory driving test until you're 87 starting this summer.
And that's good. And, you know, the studies have shown, and I don't have them right in front of me, that, you know, people in that age group, you know, are not getting into accidents as much as some of the younger drivers and the distracted drivers. I think that is going to be very good for seniors who don't want to have to, you know, take that test every year. Just generally speaking, I do get calls from people who say, listen, I've got an uncle, I've got a father, he's older, he's driving, he shouldn't be driving. I don't know what to do. I can't take his keys away. He won't let me do it. What do you suggest when it comes to this? And do you know how the Secretary of State handles these kinds of complaints?
Yeah, so this is a really rampant problem. Everybody's got this problem. And one of the things that this statute does is that it at least requires people who are 79 or older to come in on a regular basis. For some people, it's every 2 years. For others, it's every 4 years, depending on your age. But it's at least requiring people of a certain age to come in and get a vision test and take a written test if they have a driving violation. So if you're dealing with somebody who is of a certain age, 79 or older, you can rely on those mandatory walk-in requirements in order to try to catch a problem and bring it to the attention of the Secretary of State. You know, interestingly, until this statute passed, Illinois was one of only five states who did not allow families to report concerns.
Oh.
So this act, yeah, can you believe that? Before this act passed, the only people who could report concerns were medical doctors. And in order
and to how would they know
about a driver?
Yeah,
exactly. So the only way they would know is if they actually saw the patient. So just imagine, you know, there are so many families out there who've been struggling with a problematic driver in the family. And until this statute is implemented this summer, the only recourse is to drag that person to a doctor if you can, and then get the doctor to make a report, because as a family member, you're not allowed to make a report until this summer.
Interesting. Very interesting. And very quickly, there's a new law affecting seniors that aimed at keeping them in their homes. Can you just tell us briefly what this law states?
Yeah, this is some serious tax relief legislation that's expanding a prior statute that essentially anyone in the state of Illinois whose income is $75,000 or less is now eligible to defer their real estate taxes. Now, you're not getting out of them completely. You're still going to have to pay them at some point, but you can defer them $7,500 a year, and you can defer them until you pass away, which is great, because if your plan is to stay in your home and the real estate tax increases are prohibitive for you, then you can defer your taxes and not pay them until after you're gone. Your estate can pay them at that point.
That's good news. Very good news. And finally, just trying to circle back with this Rob Reiner case, we discussed a little bit with a criminal defense lawyer, but we had a lot of questions, and I think there's a lot of misinformation online about whether the son who's been accused of these crimes, murder, is he able to inherit money from his family? What is the law on that? And let's talk about it in terms of Illinois law, because, you know, that's something that, you know, it varies from state to state, And I just want to address it in terms of Illinois law.
Yeah, Illinois law prohibits. It's a slayer statute, and the Illinois Probate Act specifically disqualifies a person who has caused the death of someone from inheriting from them. So essentially, if you have caused someone's death and you are a beneficiary, whether by joint tenancy, whether beneficiary on an account, whether a legatee under a will or trust, you are not allowed to inherit, and that property will pass as if you yourself had predeceased the person who was killed.
And just one final question before we go, and we're going to get you on again, and, you know, because we can't get enough of this kind of planning for the future. If people come to see you, what kinds of services do you provide for them, and what kinds of issues do you need to like highlight so that people get the attention they need and the planning that they need?
Great question, Karen. We offer such a wide variety of services, everything from like what we talked about at the beginning of the program, just getting your affairs in order, just the basics of getting your documentation, your legal documents in order to prepare for a crisis, all the way to taking care of somebody like Rob Reiner's son, taking care of a family member who's now capable of taking care of themselves. And needs a guardianship, needs a conservatorship, needs protection, needs mental health treatment. We call it guardianship here in Illinois. And we do special needs planning for adult disabled children and all sorts of things along those lines. We help people through every type of health crisis throughout their lifetime from start to finish. So even though we're called elder law attorneys, we take care of people of all ages.
And that makes sense. And I would encourage everybody and make that a New Year's resolution. Nobody likes to face their mortality or the idea that you may not be competent at some point to conduct your affairs. But don't leave it to the point where it's too late. And don't leave it to your loved ones because it's not fair to them. And I will tell you, you will feel better having called Katie and made an appointment and just try to get your things in line and understand what issues could arise in the future. Katie, one more time, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, you can call us at 312-899-0950.